What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Tuesday morning. Well, we know the bird's a pony. You just heard Boomer Esiason talking about it. Sam Darnold obviously struggled. So it will be those Los Angeles Rams. Rams really took apart Minnesota and Sam Darnold last night. Eagles-Rams Sunday at 3. We'll talk about it all day. Let's be real. We'll talk about it all week, the rest of the week, up until Sunday at 3. And your reaction today to know of who we're going to see the Birds play and obviously what lies ahead. 215-592-9494. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
Pomology is the study of fruit.
Didn't know it. Won't remember it. Doesn't apply to me because I barely eat them.
Well, that's wrong.
I study other people.
It should apply to you.
I should.
Should become a pomologist.
They're kind of sickly. A lot of things different. I got to stop wearing the glasses. I realized yesterday we're constantly on social media.
Why are you continuing to do this?
Just resting the eyes.
Why do you have to rest the eyes?
Because I leave the contacts in for too long.
Oh, well, then stop doing that and you won't have to wear the glasses,
right? I did. But the problem
if you just wear the contacts on the normal schedule and you don't leave them in your eyes longer than you should, then you'll never have to do the glasses.
That is the conundrum. All right, hello everybody. All right, so let me ask this question: how are we feeling about those L.A. Rams? I mean, I got to tell you, what a draw! What a draw!
Unbelievable!
What a draw! I mean, knowing what it could have been all year. So first off, Minnesota wasn't legit. Because the fear all year. Fear's a little strong. But the
concern
all year was if you're not the one seed, you're the two seed, and you're going to have to face either Detroit or Minnesota, and that might be a problem. And then that didn't manifest like literally at all. Like that didn't manifest.
Yeah.
So we'll take a reaction to. There's really a couple of different things going on here. 215.
Well, the quarterback fell apart. Actually disintegrated before our eyes in the last two games, the games that mattered the most, the one against the Lions that they had to get, they had to win to get the one seed. And now last night, that was Darnold showing, my gosh, how much
brutal.
Money did he
that's
lose?
That's what I was thinking.
Hundreds
I'm like watching him like
millions
hundreds of millions of dollars are falling away from
did
this
guy.
Did
he lose $100 million?
I think he did. I think he lost the opportunity to start next year, possibly. Now, there are so many
He'll start.
You would think he would still be offered a chance. All it takes is one team, one desperate team.
He'll start.
But the problem is he gets to seeing ghosts. You know, in the pocket, you blitz him. What the Rams did, they just got a little bit multiple, brought blitzes from all over the place and showed him new looks, even that the old head wasn't ready for, and he fell apart. And it felt like Kevin O'Connell also, the coach, the offensively minded coach, who is so quarterback looking, like the most quarterback looking coach I've ever seen. You can tell that guy played quarterback. He looked like he was shell-shocked from the punishment in the pocket.
I think he was shocked. So the biggest thing to me that stood out, I mean, there's two different things. The quarterback won throwing the ball, but then the quarterback would just hold
rid of it, man.
Just throw the ball away.
So like how does second that make and you feel? Eight, seriously, how does that make you feel watching that seasoned veteran, who I was just saying yesterday is good only because of the experience he has accrued, everything that he's seen, even Sam Darnold, who is an old head, gets just torn apart by blitzes.
He got crushed.
Looks like he knows nothing of the sort what to do. Complete like it dumb decision after dumb decision after dumb decision.
Yep.
Our quarterback doesn't turn the ball over. Our quarterback actually you try to blitz him and he's more likely going to burn you, and if you're trying to run man behind it and you've got your back to him, he's going to burn you and go score a touchdown.
Jalen's so much better than Sam Darnold. So much better.
Yes, it really does make you feel good about our chances because we know that defenses aren't going to try to do that the same way against us. Now, they'll try to do different things.
Yeah.
But man, Sam Darnold, poor guy. Seems like a nice man.
He wrecked his team's chances. He single-handedly wrecked their chance.
No one cares that he's a nice man right
now. He crushed
them. Because they resent Sam Darnold in Minnesota.
So look, we'll take your reaction to the reality that it's the Eagles versus the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously a rematch from about 2 months ago. We'll take your reactions on the phone line, 215-592-9494. If you missed the game, and I'm always cognizant early in the day, you know, there's any number of people that may have missed it, particularly as it went on later last night. Bottom line is, I'll give you two things bottom line from last night's game. Darnold was horrible and that sunk Minnesota, but the Rams are pretty damn impressive. So, do I love the draw? Yes, I love the draw. But I'm also cognizant of the fact the Rams are probably better than they were a month and a half, 2 months ago when the Eagles played them. I mean, they did look a lot better. With that said, it's still a great draw. Let's be real. About the divisional round up ahead, one team's kind of, I don't want to say screwed, it's a strong way to put it, but one team's in a tough spot that's a one or a two seed. Buffalo has to face Baltimore. That's brutal. Brutal. The other three that are top one or two seeds all have what should be, a somewhat comfortable victory. KC, obviously, against Houston, that should be a layup. Detroit versus Washington, Eagles versus the Rams. This is a great draw for the Eagles, and it presents a scenario where the Eagles are very likely to get their way into the Final Four, and good for that and for them, and away they should go to what should then be just a freaking hellacious Final Four, all right? But my thought on the Eagles versus the Rams is awesome. Go get it.
I felt that way yesterday, that it would be awesome if we drew the Rams. And then watching the game,
yeah, they look good.
The game last night, they did look. Wow,
my opinion changed too, John. Yeah. I definitely went from wanting to play the Vikings wanting to play the Rams to wanting to play the Vikings. As the
I
game
wanted
went
to play the Vikings all along.
Yeah, you did. You said it. You
we
said
got
it.
You know, the last time we played him, remember November 24th, Saquon went for 300 plus total yards, and he was completely unstoppable. It was like 255 on the ground at 9.8 a carry with a couple touchdowns. Also, like 47 through the air, but he was the key.
It was unbelievable. Yeah.
This Rams team, they've got that extra oomph right now, that's for sure.
You know what I like, though, John?
They're a community. Remember when New Orleans, they bonded over,
Katrina?
The tragedy, and their team became.
You're giving the Rams that status?
John, I'm kind of with you. That was the biggest thing that I took away at the end of the game last night. I didn't think about it going in, but when they did that, this was for LA, we did this. Like, that is galvanizing.
Watching
it is.
Andrew Whitworth.
Did the 06 Saints win the Super Bowl? No. Did the 01 Yankees win the World Series?
No, I'm not saying it's going to carry them to a title. I'm just saying it was more that I felt like I should have factored it into evaluating last night's game.
Factored into last night's game, and I hope it doesn't continue to factor in. I think it's too much for them to overcome. The shortness
that's
of
a tough
the
spot,
week,
man.
The emotion.
That they have already been on the road traveling, even though they were supposed to be at home
That's
for
tough.
That game.
That's tough.
It's just, man, it's so much to over, all right, overwhelming.
So your reaction to last night's game as it relates to the Eagles, knowing that it will be the Rams, who did look impressive. I love the fact that what Stafford's good at, the Eagles are great at. Stafford's a really good passer. The Eagles are really phenomenal at stopping passing. So I like that aspect of the matchup. So take your thoughts on the Eagles versus the Rams, obviously Sunday at 3. Your phone calls 215-592-9494. Now, I'm also curious what else is on everyone's mind as we look over the horizon, and as we look back. So when I say look back, I'm talking about 2 days ago, the game. I'm talking about the whole season, four and a half months, whatever it's been. I'm talking about our show and our station yesterday. There was a lot of consternation going on. And, of course, I'm also talking about looking ahead, and not just the Rams, but the big picture. You know, the next 4 weeks. Because in 4 weeks, this thing can be a title. And it has a great shot to be. What else is on your mind? What stands out to you about the birds, the win, and the situation as it relates to the future? You know, whether it's, 5 days or hopefully 4 weeks. Look, here's the main thing I'll say. And again, you can weigh in 215-592-9494. I would encourage everyone, as it relates to the consternation yesterday, for everyone to take a breath. The Eagles are a great team. Whether you are a major Jalen, I don't know, supporter is not the right
believer.
Word. Believer. Whether you're a major Jalen believer or you have some doubts or serious doubts, the Eagles are still a great
team, and they have a phenomenal shot to win it all. You know, Hurts will, I think even the doubters would acknowledge that Hurts is extremely likely to play better, probably much better. The rust factor was probably a real element of what we saw out there 2 days ago. And you still have, with one chink in the armor, you still have the triumvirate that has made this team great all year. Defense, offensive line, and Saquon. Now, the chink in the armor is Nakobe, and that's a bummer. That's a bummer. He's out for the year. You know, I don't worry about it as much against the Rams, but I do think about it when the Eagles will face some teams that bring a more complex situation to the table. Detroit, obviously, some of their play calling, their ability to run and pass is excellent. Kansas City is Kansas City. Buffalo and Baltimore. I mean, whichever one the Eagles get if they get to the Super Bowl. So that is a disappointment. But we also know this, and we know this doesn't apply to most teams left, and I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but we know this. The Eagles having 21 of their 22 starters available is unusual. Like, even though Nakobe's out, we can still say the Eagles are, for the most part, extremely healthy. So they're great. They're healthy. Like two of the other teams in the final eight, they've got a good draw for the divisional round. They're going to be, I think, in the final four. And I think everyone should take a little bit of a breath given the consternation that was in the air yesterday. Jalen will be better, and he's got a good shot to be much better.
It really is a pretty good draw. And that's not to say take it too lightly and think it's already in the bag, because it's not. But, I mean, come on. There are times as a sports fan you can just say reasonably, could have been worse. Minnesota could have been legit. You know, they could have been. They weren't. So it's a good draw. It kind of reminds me, and this is a ridiculous analogy, but James, when the Phils are going to play the Tampa Bay Rays in the World Series instead of the Red Sox, like,
sure,
I'll take that. I'll take that. So, all right, so what do you think? Eagles, Rams, obviously your chance to weigh in, 215-592-9494. What's on your mind? A lot of consternation in the air yesterday. Was it an overreaction? Was it a proper reaction? What do you make all that? So let's go to the phones. A lot to get to today. We'll get to the Dallas reality with McCarthy fired. All that. All of it on the table. 215-592-9494. T.Y. in Philadelphia kicks us off. Good morning, T.Y.
How are you this morning?
Doing well.
Wait,
T.Y.
James is telling me this is LeVert.
I'm actually great. I woke up.
I don't know why it says T.Y. LeVert. It's LeVert. Sorry,
yeah,
LeVert.
It's beautiful.
I don't know why our screen says T.Y. How you been, LeVert? Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah. Hey, good morning. How's it going, guys?
Good morning.
Super.
Hey, listen, that game last night was something else. showed me something that the Rams are way past where they were when we played them earlier this season.
Does look that way.
Yeah. And I believe even though they are, Stafford is still a good quarterback, but he's a statue pretty much. He's not really that mobile to the point where we can't get to him. And I think that's going to be the big downfall for the Rams.
Well, I think that's part of it. I'll put it this way, LeVert. So Cooper Kupp's not what he was, and obviously Cooper Nacua is one of the best receivers in the league, but I love the matchup.
He's as banged up as it gets.
He's banged up.
It's like every play he's banged up.
Well, he's very physical. He's a very physical player.
Yeah, and at this point of the year, it has really added up. You can see it in the way that he carries himself.
Like, LeVert, I really respect their passing game, but it doesn't. I know that's how the Rams could win. Yeah, that's how the Rams could win, but I don't
LeVert
think they
can
do.
LeVert can beat the blitz. LeVert can beat the pass rush. Sorry, LeVert.
LeVert, you can do it all, man.
LeVert, you can win.
LeVert's like, you're right, I can.
Absolutely, but so can Matthew Stafford. We try to blitz him. He can burn us. Remember, it gets frustrating when these smart quarterbacks get rid of the ball really fast. So that's going to be a challenge. He knows where to go.
But don't you love Quinion and Cooper and Slay?
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Zach Bond dropping in coverage.
Well, we're the number one defense. We're the number one pass defense. It matters.
Yeah.
I do feel like we can make them one-dimensional. And when it's only pass that we're expecting or so much more pass that we're expecting, that's when we can really get to them and start getting Matthew Stafford on the ground.
It's a good matchup, LeVert.
Well, tell me this, guys. What do you think? Do you think that they held Brown back last week because of the knee issue, and they wanted him as fresh as possible for this week.
You talking about practice or in the game?
In the game.
I think Jalen struggled. I mean, look, it was notable yesterday. A lot of clips going around of Eagles receivers not getting open as much as and often as they normally do. So maybe A.J. Brown was affected by the knee. Maybe the other team just schemed it up real well defensively and had an idea what the Eagles are going to do. I mean, I don't know quite the whys of that because we know A.J. and Devontae are fantastic receivers. I wouldn't say the Eagles held him back. It is possible. It is possible that A.J.'s knee held him back. That is possible.
They blocked a couple of times. I mean, so I just, you know, but maybe on the long passes, that's why they didn't attempt any.
You know, it was interesting. There was a lot of, obviously, consternation yesterday.
And they attempted lots of long passes.
Well, they did.
But
they
we
did
couldn't
some.
Get the ball downfield.
We'll get through the show. There's a couple point counterpoints we're going to get to, like reporter versus reporter, former player versus former player. Like Ray Diddy was hard on Jalen and Dan Orlovsky, and I'm counting Orlovsky as a reporter because let's be real, the guy barely played. James, did he ever take a snap?
Wow, yes, he did. He did.
So he's technically a quarterback, but we all kind of think of him as, you know, just the media head guy. So Orlovsky was pro Jalen, Ray Diddy was anti Jalen yesterday in the way they presented information. And then you want to talk about two Eagles greats. LeSean McCoy was really hard, really hard on Jalen yesterday, and Seth was pumping Jalen up. So we'll get to that audio as we move through the show. It's some interesting stuff in reaction. Dennis in Mount Laurel right now. Dennis, good morning.
Hammer, how the hell are you doing today, son?
I'm excited about the birds, man.
Ricky Rich, how the hell are you doing today?
Super, Dennis.
Yeah, be careful about Matthew Stafford. He's going to wind up being probably the quarterback with the fifth most passing yards. He really took L.A. a few years ago to winning the Super Bowl. They wouldn't have won it without him.
He's better than I thought he was. I mean, when John used to sing his praises, I thought John was crazy. And Stafford, he's not a Hall of Famer, none of that stuff, but he is definitely better than I thought he was.
He's getting close to being all, like, he has a chance at least, more than I would have thought.
He has to win a Super Bowl. He's not going to.
He has won a Super Bowl.
No, another.
I don't know that.
He ain't winning this.
I don't know that he has to win another Super Bowl.
I don't either. Yeah, the numbers are much.
Matthew Stafford is wide open.
Dennis just said he's going
to
be the fifth most yards ever. I know what the stats change. I'm just telling you. I don't know he gets in, but I think he's got a better chance than you're giving him.
He is. He's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback.
No, he's not.
He's that good.
I think he's going to get to the Hall of Fame because all of what everybody just said, but also
he won nothing for 10 years. Nothing.
Look where he was playing, Joe.
Yeah, but you got to lift your team up more.
But when you win, the moment you leave, I think that makes your time there look, you know, like you did the best you could.
It helps the case, but I think he's coming from a big hole. Anyway, Dennis, go ahead. What do you got on the birds?
Yeah, well, I agree that Jalen has to have a better game than he did last week. He doesn't have to be perfect, but he's got to be better, and we've got to get our passing game to our top wide receiver going a little bit better. What do you have, one catch last game?
One catch. Yeah, I think, 9 yards, something like that.
You're not going to win a game with your number one receiver getting one ball.
Well, you can because you literally just did. And that was part of my point yesterday. Even in the midst of all the talk, the Eagles – you know, they're a machine, man.
They are. Defense is good. Offensive line is good.
Yeah.
They're well balanced. They could be in three or four different ways. And that, you know, the running game is good. Everything is good right now. But, you know, just be careful. Don't downplay Matthew Stafford and the Rams.
All right. I think that's reasonable. Dennis, appreciate the call. 215-592-9494. Coming up, your chance to win a cool prize. And by a cool prize, I mean one that John Ritchie's probably going to try to steal from you. I'm just giving you that. Is that fair,
James? Ritchie is definitely going to be down for this
prize. John, you don't know the prize, right?
No.
You,
I have no idea.
You're going to like it. You're going to like it.
It's an awesome
prize. Am I eligible in any way?
You should try to get tickets from the radio station.
You should call in.
So
you should call in. That's right.
Resign
for a couple hours. Call in, win the prize, then come back tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. We'll tell you what it is. It's a good prize. People will dig it. We'll tell you what it is next. 215-592-9494. Plus the Sixers arena thing, which we dabbled in discussing yesterday, but we'll get to more. And, of course, your reaction last night, Minnesota getting housed by Detroit, by L.A., but L.A. versus the Rams, versus the Eagles, the big topic. Well, good morning to you on a great Tuesday morning, 94 WIP. Eagles and the Rams on Sunday, obviously Merrill and Mike on the call. And it's a good matchup. Now, not one we should completely take for granted, but certainly it could have been worse. Tell you what, man. John, it's a lot better than the 2 seed in the AFC has, having to face Baltimore.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a major difference.
Think of the, oh my gosh, the physicality of that game. I'm not saying our game against the Rams isn't going to be physical, but it does feel like a different category of game. Playing the Ravens and Buffalo, man, that just feels so rough and tumble. And the Rams feel a little bit less so. But they are, to use Jimmy's word, galvanized right now with everything that's going on in their community. And that is a lift. They've got a short week, but they just played a home game where they had to travel to Arizona and bus their fans.
Yeah.
It, over 30,000 fans over, whatever that number was. That was crazy. They're having to jump through a lot of hoops that are, man.
That's a tough one. I mean, they're
tricky.
They're sleeping right now in L.A. They landed probably a few hours ago. The players are sleeping. The coaches are probably, well, it's 3:30 out there, so maybe the coaches are still sleeping. But
I can't stress
the coaches
got to
work quick.
This preparation is.
That's tough.
Because you include the travel on top of all that, the short week. Really, it's like a day and a quarter shorter than what ours is to begin with. Then the fact that we get to just sit here and sleep in our beds. They have to travel across the country.
Again.
It really does feel like they got half the time to work with that we do.
Now, one thing that will help their coaches, they did prepare for the Eagles already. Not effectively, but at least they did prepare. So
somewhat.
They have something in their back pocket from 2 months ago.
But there are things that you simply cannot prepare for.
Yeah, no, I get it.
And that, in part, is just the Eagles' run game, which they struggled so mightily with the last time we played them on November 24th.
That's right.
9.8 yards a carry Saquon put on them.
Yeah. All right, so
that's not going to – look, they're going to try to have a plan to insert an extra player into the box whenever possible. They have to stop the run very clearly. But that's going to open things up for beating them – over the top. And remember, with AJ having one catch, it just feels like this Rams defense, this Eagles offense is also ripe for over the top explosiveness, and they're going to get on the board with that style.
Look, bottom line is I'll be really surprised if the Eagles lose. I mean, that's where I'm at. I think we should feel pretty confident. All right, 215-592-9494.
I'm super excited about the way everything shapes up. You talked about the fact that we only have one injury. That's such a major injury, though.
N'Kobe
Dean. But my worry, again, my biggest worry is I'm almost looking ahead of this game. Like, my brain keeps jumping. When I think N'Kobe Dean, our green dot, I think, oh man, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be rough. It's going to be tough to defend Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs is on the Lions.
Yeah.
He's not a member of the Rams. We've got to think Kyren Williams. We've got to think Rams. What do they have to offer that gives us trouble? And right now, it's their strength matches our strength.
Well,
their passing is against our passing defense.
Yeah, the good news is I think Sirianni has a great track record, and the players have a great track record of staying locked into the moment. And so, look, we can talk about the impact of N'Kobe versus, you know, Baltimore if they play again, right? I mean, that's a tough one. Detroit. But the Eagles players obviously will focus on the Rams, and I think they'll handle that. All right. Now, one issue about the game we got to present. It's a legitimate question. I think most people will say, stick with who we've got here in Philly and have had for a while. But it has to now be asked with repeated struggles by Jake Elliott. Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. Here's the poll question that has to be asked. This is a question the Eagles themselves have to ask. And I don't think they're going to switch kickers, but I can't imagine they haven't contemplated it. Here's the question.
Too late now.
It might be, but it might not be. Here's the question. Who should the Eagles kicker be versus the Rams? A, Jake Elliott. B, best available free agent kicker. Now, John, let me ask you a question, because I've thought what you said, but I don't think it's true. What is the rationale for it's too late? Like, what difference does it make if you sign a kicker with 3 weeks to go in the regular season or 1 week into the postseason?
I would have
what
liked my
make?
Kicker and holder to have tons and tons of reps and time together.
Okay, that's interesting.
And there's just so much thing can go wrong in that process, the process of snapping it and holding it and getting the kick up.
course, that, using an ineffective kicker can also
I agree,
go
but
wrong.
I felt like if there was a time to do this, to bring someone in, the most effective free agent kicker off the street.
Mid-December,
it
right?
It would have been, yeah, it would have been at the end of the regular season where you bring him in and let the two kickers compete in practice situations, you know, with the whole team there watching, adding a little pressure. I've seen that. I've witnessed that. And it's been, you know, you take... It's not like it really disrupts the flow of a team if the kicker's got a different face. I'm sorry. It is just very cutthroat
to
say it that
way. It's the mechanics.
Yes,
I got it. That makes sense.
You need a kicker to kick. And you need a kicker to kick well and consistently. And we haven't had that when we're missing extra points now. Initially, it was those over 50. Hey, maybe his leg strength is suffering. But, man... You're pulling the extra points. It feels like it's gotten into his head, and that was my biggest worry. And now I think it's too late to bring someone in from the outside because they simply would not have enough snap to hold to kick that that processing time that you practice that. They just haven't had enough reps.
Look, it's a reasonable answer. I'll say this. Obviously, John, if the Eagles lose a playoff game because of Jake Elliott, you'll kick yourself for not, you know. And so we'll see. Look, it doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. Playoff games get, you know, I remember Minnesota a couple years ago had like a 30-yard field goal to beat Seattle. The guy shanked it. I mean, we've seen it. I remember even the very end of Vinatieri's career.
How about double doink? I mean, we
double
saw it with our own team, yeah.
Double doink, that's right. To the Eagles' benefit, obviously to the Eagles' detriment, was 2010. David Akers near the end of his reign and you know, one of Andy's, actually it was Andy's last playoff game when the Eagles lost to Green Bay. So it happens. We hope it doesn't happen here. I don't expect the Eagles to switch kickers, but it's a reasonable question, should they? You can vote at SportsRadioWIP on Twitter. By the way, when you call in today, a chance to win a really cool pair of tickets. This work for you, John?
I love Metallica.
Is this maybe resign?
Your pals.
Win the tickets?
Yeah, they are big Raiders fans. James was wearing my jersey when they did the surprise concert out in the parking lot for the AFC Championship game in 2002.
That's great.
They got a flatbed and got out there in the parking lot, and they were just playing songs.
Well, how about you hang out with these guys?
Cool.
I know last year, I think, you got sick or a family member got sick when Green Day was in town. But how about May 25th? I mean, it's probably I guess that's maybe Memorial Day weekend, Sunday Memorial Day weekend. How about you hang out on stage with Metallica? All right, here's the deal. We're giving away a pair of tickets to see the great band Metallica, M72 World Tour, happening Sunday, May 25th at Lincoln Financial Field. Single day tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. So this Friday, I take that back. James, this says January 11th. So I assume, I don't know if that means last Friday or this upcoming Friday. But bottom line is they either are on sale or are about to go on sale. I'm quite candidly not certain as we are live here on the air. But Metallica's coming to town. You can obviously purchase the tickets at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. We also today are giving away a pair of tickets, and here's how you can win them on the program. In addition to all the conversation about the Eagles and the Eagles versus the Rams, we will ask you what did not last long in honor of two things. First off, the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs did not last long. But perhaps more notably in human history, it is back on this date. Rhea, this one didn't last long. 1954, Joe DiMaggio in Maryland. What was that, about 9 months?
It wasn't. Didn't he put a flower?
Love of his life.
I know.
On her grave, like for every week.
When he was dying words, right? Were they definitely? I didn't know if that was like urban legend or not.
I don't know.
Now I can see Maryland again, right?
I can see Maryland was the report. And he would never do an interview if someone asked him about Marilyn Monroe. Like it was like, don't
amazing.
Go there. You know, he apparently really loved her.
Yeah.
And, but obviously, you know, she had her issues, and I think, you know, Joe D just couldn't deal with that. Anyway, it didn't last long, but apparently the love did, but the marriage did not. We'll ask you today at 215-592-9494, in honor of Marilyn and Joe D, or the Minnesota Vikings short-lived playoff run. John Ritchie, and of course, what didn't last long is relative. Their short-term didn't last long. I mean, let me put it this way. You answer the question you want to. I'll go give an example. Articles of the Confederation. It lasted longer than the Minnesota Vikings, but the Constitution came in and we had a different form of government. So it wasn't like a year, but it was a bad early form of government for the United States. whatever it was, a couple years, we said, scrap that, throw out that piece of paper, let's go to the Constitution. Didn't last long. John Ritchie, what did not last long, best answer whoever provides it, is going to win the Metallica tickets?
New Coke.
New Coke is a great answer.
New Coke was awesome. Don't let anyone tell you different. But it was only on the market from April 23rd, 1985 to July 11th. 1985.
That's
it's
incredible.
The same year.
That's why like I didn't realize months. It was this. I did not realize it was that short.
Yeah.
Wow.
April 23rd to That's July wild. 11th. And
you're like, whoops.
I loved it. It was sweeter. It was better. And the American public rose up again. Wow. Against
quickly,
Coke.
Apparently.
So fast, they ripped it off the shelves.
Seltzer, what did not last long?
Absolutely, I was an early
Your
peaker.
Football career.
Well, my football starting career in particular was half a game, and my football career was maybe about four or five before I got injured. Not bad, James. Way to take a shot. Rhea, what didn't last long?
I'm also going to go with the marriage. Dennis Rodman and Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
9 days. My favorite part of it is when he filed for the annulment. One of the reasons was unsound mind.
Oh my, of him
really?
Or her?
Yeah, wasn't sure who.
Which one? All right, give us big time answers. What did not last long? We'll have some fun with that. Best answer, whoever provides it wins the Metallica tickets. 215-592-9494. We'll get to the Sixers arena reality. And what are your early thoughts on the Eagles and the Rams? Let's get to Dan in Philadelphia. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are we today?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, Dan.
Joe, next time you do a promo for calling a game, it's Mike Merrill and Devin on the call.
Well, it wouldn't be Mike and Merrill. It would be Merrill and Mike and Devin.
All right.
There you go.
That, you know, she's a big part of that now.
She's a big part of it. We're all very happy for her.
That's right. Listen, going into last night's game, like after watching Minnesota just crumble and Sam Darnold collapse, you know, in the big picture, I was really hoping that Minnesota, like, squeaked by and won. I would have rather seen – I know it sounds crazy because they're offense, and, but something about it was telling me I'd rather see Minnesota than L.A. just because of the trajectory that both teams were going. And it just looked like the picture was getting too big for Darnold.
Well, it did look that way. Look, Dan, let's be real. You base that, I think, in large part based on how it looked last night. If Sam Darnold comes out slinging the ball and plays well, you say it's a one-game aberration. He played bad versus Detroit. But you formed that narrative because it was two in a row. And I get it. He was horrible. And you know what? Jaws called it. We'll have Jaws on the program in about half an hour.
He did.
About two months
overrated.
Ago.
Yep.
No, here's what he said. I don't trust him in a big spot. That's what he said.
And when I saw it last week, I assumed it was going to happen this week. And then I figured if we end up playing them, that it would happen then.
So well, you know what it makes me wonder, Dan? How was he so good for 4 months?
I think Kevin O'Connell might have done the greatest coaching job in the history of the NFL this year. Yeah.
Well,
right?
I think that the competition gets better, right? As you know, Detroit, it's almost like a playoff game, and then you're playing the best teams that are left in the league in the wild card weekend.
It's still not easy to get to 14 wins, though, man. I mean, that is a boatload of wins.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know.
In that division. It is impressive.
And as for Jake Elliott,
yep.
I think what's weird with Philadelphia is our kickers are actually like really threaded into our team. I think more than most, like, you know, with David.
They're
Akers,
really what?
Like, threaded. Well, like, yeah, we've threaded. Had two long-term kickers here in the last, you know, this century.
Yeah,
two of them.
I feel like they're, I don't know about other cities, but I always feel like, I feel like other cities don't even notice their kickers, as in Philadelphia. They're very prominent on our team.
Well, you do when you have a good one. That's the bottom. All cities, you do when you, I mean, look, Vinatieri, you know. Two different teams. Morton Anderson. You do when you have a good one.
I think you got to ride with him.
It is risky, though, Dan. It is risky.
I know, but he hit one of the biggest kicks in Eagles history for us. So, and he still has the leg strength. So, you know, that's the good part, Dan.
Why did he miss, you know, 6 of 7 from 50 and out if he still has the leg strength? Why was he no longer kicking off? You know, why is our punter kicking off some weeks?
That I can't figure out.
That is strange. And it just makes me think, like, are they
saving his leg? Yeah.
Could have been. Because the leg strength is problematic. I know that being around kickers, like I can remember Sebastian Janikowski felt like I always felt like this was a total racket, felt like if he practiced too much during the week, he would be worse game time in terms of how far he could kick from. I mean, this guy could bomb it from 75.
I think one of the strongest legs we've ever seen, if not the strongest still, up there.
I felt like it was an excuse for him to like feel better about going and golfing while the rest of us were practicing. But, you know, maybe there's something to it.
Maybe. All right, Dan, give me a great answer. What didn't last long?
President Harrison's term.
Oh, good answer.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah, was it 30 days, something like that? President Harrison. So he gets sick. Is it urban legend?
He got sick at the... like.
Well, I've also heard that's not true.
Inauguration, right? In that,
his inaugural...
He gives the speech in the rain. But I've also heard that's not true, so I don't know.
I've heard it's true.
I've heard it's true also, and I've heard it's not true. I wasn't there. Someone help us out. All right,
I don't think we know anybody who was there.
No, we don't. All right, here's what we do know is true. The 76ers will be staying in South Philadelphia. There will be a new arena. There was some confusion initially. I even had a couple of friends after the show yesterday. I guess we didn't explain it well. They're like, wait, Joe, the Sixers are getting their own arena? Or it's with the Flyers? No, it's with the Flyers. The answer is it's with the Flyers. It's a big old agreement. I don't know how they came to it so quickly, frankly. I mean, this... when you think about the entities involved, Sixers, Flyers, Comcast, Spectacor, you know, it's complicated. And not just, you know, unions, like there's a lot of stuff going on here. So it came together, frankly, faster than I would think a big deal normally would. But with that said,
well, it came together behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, that's if you buy that they really pivoted really recently. Well, anyway, make it or did it is my point. Let's listen to what Josh Harris said yesterday. Big press conference yesterday. We won't air much from it, but this kind of gets to the heart of at least how he presented the 76ers' view. I don't believe his first sentence, okay, but putting that right out there. But you do get an explanation, and here's what he said.
We didn't really change our mind, actually. We were really committed to Market East, but, you know, obviously when we also had our North Star was doing the right thing by Philly, and when... you know, a lot, you know, deals don't come together exactly when you want them. And, you know, when Comcast and when Brian, you know, Adam Silver said, look, guys, you're fighting. You know, let's try to come together. We felt we could build a better arena. We could also revitalize Market East. And we felt that it was 1 + 1 = 3 situation. And so we pivoted. We pivoted on behalf. It's a little more complicated for all of us. Comcast was willing generously, even though they had put in a lot of money into the existing arena to make it great, to move up their time frame. And all of us made compromises to do the right thing by Philly. And one thing I can tell you, just I'll stop there and let others say, but one thing I can tell you about President Johnson and Mayor Parker is they're tough. Like they're going to represent your interests well. So. For sure, we're all, you know, you can depend on them to do the right thing by the city and to, you know, garner, you know, everything that we have to support the city. So it wasn't planned, but it happened. First meeting was in early December, and we got, you know, you can't, we got the mayor involved as soon as we could.
All right, so that's Josh Harris yesterday. It gives you, you know, a decent idea of kind of what went on. I mean, I'll say this. First off, I think most of
represent our interest.
Well, I think
their
some
North
of it make,
Star was us, so that's James. Nice. I really appreciate it.
I mean, the
that.
First sentence, we didn't change our mind.
Stop it.
I mean, really? I mean, for 2 years,
just
we heard
guided
about
by
East.
That North Star of what's good for Philadelphia. That's why I own the Commanders and the Devils, because I know Philadelphia loves that and appreciates that about me.
We didn't change our minds.
I'm all about Philadelphia.
Oh, my God. And here's the thing I'll say when I talk about I'm surprised.
You can't do that. You can't say that.
Well,
you can't
did.
Come out and pretend.
He did. Look, here's
and
the
expect us to just.
No, it was okay, John. It was sure. A never mind.
Never mind.
Thanks, Josh, for thinking about us.
And here's the irony to reacting to this. I think most people are happy this is the outcome.
Correct.
We just don't like how they arrived at it.
Well, they wasted time, money.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh,
what
my
you,
God.
What you put those people through Chinatown.
Totally.
Rammed it down their throats while pointing at the video camera going, I see you.
I know.
I hear you. Oh, please stop it. I mean, they really made her look bad. They did.
Oh,
they did.
There's
because
no question.
She's still selling it. And they're in closed-door meetings, you know, trying to get this deal done.
And there's politicians that are going to have to run again when their term's up, and that'll be very interesting.
Of course
so
it will.
It's a fascinating dynamic. And two other things that you may not know about, because it wasn't, you know, top of mind yesterday was like, all right, Sixers stay in South Philly, and it was like a whoopsie, not going to Market East. But two other interesting elements, and this is where I talk about I'm almost surprised. If it really began in December, as he said, the pivot to like, hey, maybe we stay in South Philly. two other parts that are that complicate it that I'm almost surprised it came together in about 6 weeks. One is that Comcast gets some ownership of the 76ers now. So that's back. If you remember, Comcast owned the Sixers starting in the mid-1990s and owned them until Comcast sold the Sixers to Josh Harris about 15 years ago. So I don't know the minority stake, what percentage, but Comcast is now, again, a minority owner of the 76ers. And the other thing to be aware of, part of this deal, is the quest both teams will have, Sixers and Flyers, with Comcast to try to get the WNBA to town and to utilize that arena as a attraction to the NBA to get the WNBA into Philadelphia. So it's complicated. There's a lot to it. In the end, I think it's a great result. The way they got there, not so much.